Well, good morning. It is good to see you again and to be able to spend some time with you today. We just finished looking at, over the last couple of months, looking at how God speaks to us, and that kind of is a good lead-in to a set of sermons that I want to bring to you as we, believe it or not, we're about a month and a half away from Easter, and it seems like the first 2 months of this year has zipped on by, and we are, I guess you can say we're getting closer to spring, but at least the sun is out today, so that's good. Today, though, I want to lead us into, even though I'm kind of a week early, I want to lead us into a series of messages about Lent. Last year, in my almost 20 years of ministry, last year was the first year I ever did a sermon series on Lent. And so as I was thinking about that, I thought maybe today would be a good day to kind of get us in the right mood. I think next Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. So between now and then, hopefully our message this morning will inspire you and encourage you to kind of understand what Lent is all about. And as I was thinking about that, I realized that in life, all of life really, has kind of a rhythm. There is birth, there is growth and strength, there is also weakness, decline, and death. There is work, and then there is rest. There is waking, then sleeping, then waking again. There's day and night. There's activity and energy, noise during the day, and silence at night. There's planting, there is nurturing, there is harvesting, and then dying back. Spring, summer, fall, winter, and then spring again. That's kind of the rhythm of life, right? Well, I have noticed over the years, at least it seems in North America, that we have largely kind of obliterated that rhythm. We only want new life. We only want new growth, new strength, and we abhor to weaknesses and decline. We greatly value work, but not so much rest. We like to keep our calendars full. We like to stay busy. I know for myself, if I don't keep myself busy, then I kind of fall into discouragement or depression, because then I feel like maybe there's something I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm not doing, you know. And so I think that we do spend a great value in work. We attempt to function on as little sleep as possible. We extend activity, energy and noise of the day as far into the night as possible. We import fresh vegetables all year round because of that, we have at best a vague recollection of the annual cycle of planting and harvesting. We see the rhythm of the seasons and respond with an urgency to escape our winters by traveling somewhere else that's warm. Now, I'm not complaining about fresh vegetables all year round or electric lights, and I'm certainly not complaining about the idea of escaping in the snow and going to find someplace warm. This last Tuesday when I was driving back from Sun River, I left Sun River, it was 10 degrees. It didn't get above 20 until I got to the Dalles, and then it didn't get above 30 until I was on I-5 almost to Longview. So I experienced the cold, and boy, 30 was a warm front. I mean, that was great, you know. But we experience that in life. But I do contend that I think we've kind of lost the rhythm of life, the naturally God-ordained rhythm, which grounds us in God's goodness and provision. We accept night and day. We accept noise and silence. Growing and then dying back, summer's warmth, winter's cold, we just kind of accepted it. But we also are expecting constant growth constant progress, increased productivity. If we sold 100 units last month, we want to sell 110 this month. If we made $40,000 last year, we want to make $45,000 this year. If we sold or if we harvested 20 pounds of tomatoes yesterday, then we expect to harvest 25 pounds or 30 pounds today. We tend to view the world through a linear lens, expecting it to be a straight line and then maybe up and to the right. Anything else would be a cause for alarm. Anything else, we would think, oh, this is a huge problem. We're out of rhythm with the world. And as I was thinking about that, I thought about the amount of stress that maybe we all feel because of this expectation of constant growth, of constant striving to become more, to become richer, to become stronger for other people to see. It can be incredibly destructive. The stress of it can be incredibly difficult to deal with. So that is why, as we are coming into a new season in the church, I thought it was a good idea for us to take a look at this concept of Lent. And so I just want to read three verses from Matthew chapter 3. It says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.' This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him.'" Now, the reason why I wanted to talk about the fact that we've kind of lost the rhythm of life and we tend to be so structured to be busy, to have our calendars full of work to be done. Sometimes it's even work that we don't really have to do, but we feel like we got to put something there and we have to keep ourselves going. And that's why I think it's important that when we move into this season of Lent, that we have an understanding of what it means and what we should be getting out of it. Now, observing the seasons of the church year is one attempt for us to be grounded in the rhythm of God and salvation. Now think about it. We spend 4 weeks walking toward Christmas, right? What is that called? It is the season of Advent, right? So we spend 4 weeks walking toward Christmas. And in that 4 weeks, we are basically preparing ourselves to reach the climax of Jesus' birth as God and man into the world. And that is good because it brings us back every year to the incredible humility and kindness of God. And now we will be shortly beginning a 6-week walk toward Easter, preparing us and reaching then the climax of Jesus' resurrection and victory over sin, death, and Satan. And this too is good, because it brings us back every year to the cross and to the empty tomb, to the power of freedom and forgiveness, new life that God offers us through Christ. And again, I said we're kind of starting a little early. Next week is actually what we would probably consider the first Sunday of Lent. But this season of Lent is not as much fun, really, as the season of Advent. Why? Well, because the season of Lent is a lot harder, and it calls us to have more discipline. It calls us to prepare again, to stand underneath the cross of Christ, to become aware of his love, his overpowering love for us, to be able to overpower our sin. We do count the cost, and then we choose again to love God and to love one another as he loves us. But it is also a call for us to stand again at the empty tomb, to live in victory, to rejoice and celebrate like we have never done before. This is something we need to remember. Life conquers death. Hope conquers despair. Forgiveness conquers guilt. Freedom conquers slavery. And then we choose to live in life. So to begin, there's three things that I want to zip through this morning, and at least try to zip through. The first is this season of Lent is actually what we would call a season of repentance. Season of Lent is a season of repentance. Repentance is certainly one of the major themes in the New Testament. We read it all over the New Testament about this idea of being of repenting of our sins. Matthew 3:12, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Matthew 4:17, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Mark 6:12, the disciples went out and preached that people should repent. Acts chapter 2 says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." In Acts 20, Paul said, "I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus." That's just a few. Now, some of you here this morning may know and understand what the word repentance means, but what does it actually mean for us today? It's pretty clear that it's a very important part of Scripture. So let me give you a definition. Repentance means to change one's way of life as the result of a complete change of thought and attitude with regard to sin and righteousness. Now, there is another word closely related that interjects the emotional component. That is of sorrow and remorse over sin. And so we see that repentance kind of includes all areas. It means basically a complete change of thought and attitude. It means that we live our lives differently than we once did. If you truly are walking in step with God, then you are a changed person. Amen? That means you are seeing things from God's perspective, not your own. And your desires are not your desires anymore. They're God's desires. And what your motivation is not your motivation to achieve some higher position or higher place, but it's to draw closer to God. And that's really what our mission is. Individually, but also as a church, we come together so that we can together draw closer to God. We spend time in prayer and in our own time of prayer and devotion so that we can not make us feel better, but so that we can draw closer to God. Now, because Lent is a season of repentance, our task is to examine ourselves under the light of the Holy Spirit and under Scripture and then repent of our sins that we discover, change the way of our life so that whatever sin we are dealing with in our life right now, that we can repent of it, recognize it, so that we can repent of it, let it go, and experience God's grace and forgiveness. So our motivation doesn't come from us trying to make us feel better about ourselves, but it comes from the event in which we want to look forward to, which is the cross and the empty tomb. That's really what this is all about. So we prepare to celebrate our Lord's death and His resurrection by seeking to conform our lives into the life of Christ. Forgiveness, new life, new mindset, new attitude. We cooperate with the Holy Spirit to be conformed into the image of Christ. And it is a tough thing to do. I remember growing up and thinking I had it figured out, you know, every step of the way. I'd go to Sunday school. My mom was one of my Sunday school teachers for a short period of time. My aunt was my youth minister. And I was told all these things that I needed to do to be a follower of Christ. And at 12 years old, when I went forward to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, at the time, I thought that's what everybody do. It's like a rite of passage at 12 years old. I didn't realize that there was a lot more to it. And so it took me some years before I really took it in and understood this idea that I still got stuff that I got to deal with. I mean, I may have a personal relationship with God, but I still have stuff that I'm clinging to. I still have stuff that is directing my path. And I needed to repent. I needed to get in line with what God wanted me to do. So that's number one. Number two, it really looks weird. I know in the sermon notes, and the sermon title is Turning Towards. What are we turning towards? Well, that kind of depends really on you. But the second part of this is turning towards. Simple. Now, oftentimes, because of the nature of this season of Lent, we like to concentrate or focus on sin or on our sin so that we can repent and we can feel good. That's kind of the thing that a lot of churches try to teach you. But sometimes I think when people say you're a sinner and you need to repent of your sin, it really kind of knocks you down, doesn't it? Because I'm a sinner too. I don't think there's any one of us here that's perfect. If you are perfect, raise your hand, right? No one's going to raise their hand. So what I'm suggesting, I thought about this whole idea of Lent and how we often, majority of the time, focus on our sin or on sin itself. I want us to think about something. I want us to spend this time, this season of Lent, not focusing on our sin so much, but focusing on turning toward the cross. Turning toward something. Not thinking about all of our problems. Turning towards the cross, which is, in effect, what the big picture is. It's God. For example, we should be willing and able, by the grace of God, to turn toward truth, away from lies. Turn toward hope and away from despair. Turn towards freedom and away from slavery. Turn toward love and away from apathy. I mean, how many times have you heard a sermon that talked about that, right? That's what we're supposed to do. And somehow, you know, when we're in church and we feel that, and we think, yeah, that's right, great, Pastor, that's what we need to do. And then we leave the church and we get, someone cuts us off in traffic, and that kind of goes out the window, doesn't it? We don't turn to love. Driving back on Tuesday, things were going really well for me until I got onto 97. And I was trying to stay with everybody else. I was going about 35 miles an hour through the snow, and these people kept zipping by me, and snow would just go all over, and part of my windshield was frozen, and my windshield wiper was not working properly in one little section, and every time one of those people would zip by me in their big four-wheel drives, and I was doing a lot of praying during that time, I guarantee it. Praying that I could not only get home, but praying that I didn't say something I was going to regret. Because, you know, you're already stressed out as it is. But how do we do this? I mean, how do we turn to love and turn to truth and turn to all these things? Well, I believe, really, it's a question of time, really. I mean, what prevents us really from doing all these things? It's giving ourselves the time to do it. It takes a lot of other things too. I mean, it takes courage, the courage to trust in God, the courage to not try to put your desires and wants ahead of him, but it also takes a really honest look at ourselves. And oftentimes we don't want to do that. Oftentimes we need to have a willingness to let our hearts be broken by the things that breaks the heart of God. We have to be willing to say, you know, I've tried it my way. I've filled up my calendar. I've filled up my schedule so that I stay busy. But you know what? I'm not any happier. I'm just more stressed. Because a little bit is just not enough. I got to do more. I got to do more. I got to do more. We'll never get there unless we give God the time and the space. And so that's why this morning, this is going to probably be the most controversial part of this message. I want to offer all of us, myself included, a challenge today. And that challenge is, during this season of Lent, and I hope if it goes the way I'm praying that God is leading me to talk to you about this, is that it will take you beyond the season of Lent, that this will be another part of your character moving forward. I think what we need to do is declutter our life during this season of Lent. And that really is what Lent is about. You know, we kind of declutter, we kind of think about some things that we're doing that maybe we don't need to do anymore, and we say we give it up for Lent, and I'm going to be talking about that in a moment. But this is what I want to challenge you to do. This, for some of you, this might be difficult, but I want to challenge you to give God 30 minutes of your day. 30 minutes. That's it. Now, I recognize that there may be some of you that you've already tuned out, and you said, God, I can't give you 30 minutes, man. I might be able to give you 15 tops, but 30 minutes, I don't think I can do that. You got to be joking. Where am I going to find that 30 minutes in my schedule? Well, let me give you some blunt answer to that. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He died for you because you couldn't do it for yourself, and he did it out of love for you. Now, don't you think that that is worth a half hour of your day? I know that it's not an easy thing. In the last few months, I have been spending more time in prayer than I think I've ever spent in my life. And I kind of hate to say that because as a pastor, I should be spending a lot of time in prayer. But I'm like you. I get up in the morning and I have this plan in my head that I'm going to spend this amount of time in the sanctuary in prayer and everything. And I find myself in my office and I'm just starting to work, you know, and then I get caught up with that and then I finish that and okay, I got that done, now I can do this, and pretty soon it's the afternoon and I think, oh man, I forgot to do my devotion this morning, or I got so caught up in that I forgot to just spend some time with God, and so then I start feeling guilty, and I spend a lot of time in prayer the last couple of months. Praying for you guys, praying for the church, praying for the mission of the church, praying for you guys at the mission, praying for the names on that prayer list, praying that God would somehow help me to be the pastor that you guys deserve to have, praying that I can be a better husband and a better father, a better son. My mom and I had this conversation. My mom has always had this unique ability to whenever she was mad at me, she didn't even have to say a word. And some of you mothers out there, you probably have this figured out too. Mothers just have a look that they can give you. They don't have to say a word. They just look at you in a certain way and you know that you are in trouble. My mother has perfected that to where I can know what she's looking like over the phone, okay? When we were taking her last load of stuff down into the trailer, my sister and I were walking up and we were talking about how this seems to be giving my mom a new lease on life, that she seems to be really excited about this new adventure that she's in, and she's been fighting it for a long time. She likes her freedom. even at 95, I don't even want to think the kind of parties she's been having over there, but at 95 years old, she's wanted her freedom. She doesn't want to be a nuisance for anybody. And my mother will never offer advice unless asked. She will never share what she's truly feeling unless, because she doesn't, unless someone really asks her, because she doesn't want to burden her kids. So my sister Linda and I are going up the elevator, and we're getting off the elevator. We're going to her room with our hand truck and stuff. And here's my mom. No chairs left in her room, just her walker. And she's sitting on her walker. She's got her head down, and she's just kind of sitting there. And my sister goes, "Mom, are you okay?" She goes, "Yeah, I'm okay. I got family. And I got God. This is a good time for me." And I thought, wow. My mom is turning toward God. She's trusting God. My sister and her husband, I told them both how proud I was of them. Because in order for this to happen, they had to move out of their master bedroom, everything. And they had to move up into their little apartment that they have at their house. Upstairs. My sister had 3 or 4 bags of clothes that she said, "I just can't fit up there." What a transition for them to welcome my mom into their house like that. I'm so proud of them. Because they're turning toward God too. And what about you? What about you? What are you willing to do? In the next 40 days, if you're willing to spend 30 minutes of your day just with God, amazing things are going to happen in your life. And I hope that you won't want to stop after Easter, that you want to continue on. The third thing this morning is that as we turn towards God, something that we need to understand is as we turn towards God, we want to hear the voice of God. Remember what I've been talking about over the last couple months, this whole concept of how God speaks to us. Well, he does speak to us. Sometimes we don't want to listen to him. Sometimes we don't want to hear what he has to say, and sometimes we listen intently. But let's be practical about this. I mean, if this is going to happen, if this challenge that I'm putting on all of us is going to happen, we need to turn towards something else. We need to turn towards silence. How many of us, when I think about this 30 minutes a day, how many of us would do it in complete silence? Get rid of the noise, the external stimuli, so that you can actually hear the voice of God calling you, offering you love, offering you freedom, offering you understanding, this deep need to understand God in our lives. One of the things that I've been doing since I've been here, at least in the last couple of years, is whenever chance I get, I try to, if it's here at night, everything's dark, it's quiet, it's late at night, and I can pray out loud and pray to God, and it's a wonderful thing. Sometimes I get in my car and I go someplace quiet where I can just stop. But the trick is you have to turn everything off. You have to turn your phone off, turn your radio off, you know, any kind of stimuli that's going to distract you from listening to God. And I was thinking of that, and I have insomnia. I sometimes can't sleep very well. Part of it is sleep apnea, but part of it is just, I just get stressed out and I start thinking of things in my head and then I can't sleep. I went to my doctor, and my doctor told me there's such a thing as sleep etiquette. I didn't even know there was such a thing as sleep etiquette, but there's this thing called sleep etiquette, and he said there's things that you need to understand. If you go to bed at night, the room has to be cool, it has to be dark, there cannot be any noise, and you can't have any kind of stimuli within a half hour or an hour before you go to bed. I break all those rules. except for the cool. I like the room cool, and I don't like to have a lot of blankets on me. But I have to have some kind of music playing or something. And oftentimes, you know, I'll watch the news or watch something before I go to bed. The dangers of having a TV in your bedroom, right? So I'm challenging us all to unplug, to turn off, and listen to God. Be in silence. Whatever your spiritual pathway might be to get there, maybe it's reading a book or reading your Bible, or maybe it's walking in nature, or maybe it's like me, I like to see the ocean, I like to watch the ocean. And whatever it may be that will get you to that place. Maybe there's somebody out there that you need to forgive. Maybe you can write them a note, write them a letter. Or maybe you need to tell somebody you're sorry. Write them a letter or write them a note. Whatever you do, you need to do it in silence so that you can hear God. That is the challenge for all of us. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to give up noise for Lent. Okay? We're going to give up the distractions. We're going to take 30 minutes out of our day and say, this is yours, God. This is yours. And I'm not going to let anything get in the way of hearing what he has to say. For some, this is going to be really difficult because you're busy and there's distractions. But you can do it if you can commit to that. I will commit to it, and we will see God work in amazing ways. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, it is my prayer this morning that as we move into this season of Lent, that we can begin to turn off the noise and turn off the stimulus. And Lord, just to be able to recognize your spirit and your voice. Lord, we don't have to keep busy. We just do what you ask us to do. And everything else, Lord, is just a plus. Because if we do it for ourselves, it's never going to be enough. There's never going to be enough time in the day. There's never going to be enough work to be done. But if we just concentrate on you, that we are able to say, you know what? I'm a lot more comfortable. I'm a lot more just relaxed. I don't have to compete. I don't have to do better and better and better and achieve greater things for myself, but I need to make room for you, God. And at this season, it's a perfect time for us to take a deep, honest look at ourselves. For some, we may not like what we see, but for the most part, it will put a smile on our face, knowing that what we are doing is pleasing to you. And I just lift this all up to you, and I lift it up for each one here today. And for those who couldn't be here today that we certainly miss. And I just pray this in your name. Amen.